Thank the Lord for that freedom. And not just freedom, it's glorious freedom. I like the emphasis on that. So thank the Lord for that. Well, I desire your prayers again this morning. Need the Lord's help as always to try to get across a few points the Lord has laid on my heart recently. I want to start off with telling a story, something that happened recently. I had a conversation with one of my brothers is over at his house, and he was telling me about a couple of trees he had in his yard. And the first tree, there wasn't really anything left of it. And I noticed that when I pulled up, I saw some smoke kind of smoldering there, you know, ashes smoldering. And so we ended up talking about it. And it was basically a stump, what was left of a stump. And he was burning it out, just finishing getting rid of it. Had some roots there to get rid of. So as he's telling me that story, then he explained kind of the background of this tree and how that it was once at one time, years ago, when they first moved there, was a beautiful tree, nice, big, beautiful tree. But over the course of time, there were ice storms and wind storms and droughts and so on and so forth, and some big limbs would get broke off, and it would try to heal up, but it just never would heal very well. And then finally, one time, a big storm hit, and it basically split the tree in half, and half of it was gone. But at one point, they had a swing up in it. You know, it was a good, purposeful, useful tree. But over the course of years, it just kept, and finally, it started leaning, that the half of the tree that was left, and he tried to trim some branches off to balance it out, and then it was starting to crack some more, just the partial trunk that was left, and you could see cracks, see all the way through it. He's like, well, it won't be long. And so finally, he just finished taking it down himself, and then was just was burning what was left of it. So I want to draw that little diagram here on the board. That's the ground there. And here's what was left of this crude, just a smoldering stump here, had a few, anyway, just not much left there. Had some roots still in the ground there that he's trying to, just a crude representation there of a burning stump. So that was one of the trees. It used to be a big, again, useful tree that they had there in their front, or kind of the side yard. But then when we pulled up to the house, I noticed he was sitting under another tree, and this one was very much alive. Nice big tree, and it's one in their backyard. I'm guessing maybe 80 feet from this one that he was burning the stump. And so he proceeds to tell me the story of this tree. And I've been there different times and never really connected it and thought about it. But he's like, yeah, he's like, this tree, it's a nice, healthy tree. He's like, and I started connecting the dots here. This tree had also been through the same storms that this other tree had been through. But this one, again, it was beautiful. It was shady. That's what he was sitting under when I pulled up. And he was, and of course, there's, it's again a big part of the shade of their backyard. Just a nice, healthy, sturdy tree. So I'll draw it over here. It's just a crude representation here of this tree. I think you'll get the imagination there of a nice, beautiful, lush tree. And been there for years. But he proceeded to tell me, he's like, yeah, he's like, this tree is actually, it's had something that other tree didn't have. I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, he's like, it's been enjoying a secret water source for decades. I'm like, really? So next to this tree is a cistern. An old cistern that decades ago, years ago, the people that used to live there, that was where they got some of their drinking water, because the water around there is not very good. But they could get a cistern from rain or runoff or whatever and filter it out and have some decent drinking water, usable water. But the key is, this wasn't just any old cistern. This one had a unique issue with it. It had a crack. Because a crack in the bottom there. So these roots, of course, loved that water source down there that it had been enjoying for all these decades. And, of course, when you think about it, the rain, you know, the other tree would receive rain, but it would drain off and you know. And then so when the droughts would come, there would still be some water in the cistern because it was a slow leak. But there would still be water in that cistern where that tree was still receiving some water, some nourishment, some life-giving water. And so to this day, that tree is a beautiful tree, and it is not just this burning stump over there. Even though they both, I don't know exactly the ages of them, but they're both rather large trees, been around for decades. And so to think of these, the contrast of these two different trees, this one found a secret life source, okay? And so what I want to talk about this morning is I want to relay and dig into some scriptures of some folks that had choices in their life source. Now, granted, these trees didn't have a choice in what their life source was. This tree didn't have a choice that it was by the cistern. That's just where it was. I don't know if the cistern came first or the tree came first, but regardless, the tree didn't have a choice, and neither did this other tree out here. But folks, we have a choice of our life source, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. So, I want to dig into some scriptures, and these are stories we've all heard many times, but these individuals we're going to talk about this morning, they had some choices that they could make. Where did they want to draw the source of their life? So, I want to first talk about Abraham, and we'll turn to the 22nd chapter of Abraham. And just to give a little background, we'll end up talking about Abraham and Lot, both of them. But Abraham, even when he was Abram, God had given him a promise that he would bless his seed. But you see, there was something with Abraham that he didn't have a son. God gave him that promise, and he's like, well, Lord, I'm getting up in years, and so is my wife. I'm like, still haven't received this promise. But Abram maintained his faith in God. He chose to continue believing in God, okay? And that was the source of his strength through these difficult times, because let me remind you of some other things. He also had some things he did have a choice in. He didn't have a choice necessarily in not having a son. But he did have a choice when he had some interaction with his nephew, Lot. And remember when they both went their separate ways, and Lot chose the lush green land, all right, early on. And Abram, he just took what was left over. But God still gave him a promise. He's like, I'm still going to bless your seed. So Lot got the best choice, so to speak, what on the surface. But as we know, the rest of the scriptures are, he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know the end of Lot, that he had to be rescued out of the Sodom and Gomorrah there. But I want us to understand here that through much adversity, Abraham was maintaining his faith and confidence in God. He chose his life source to be God, okay? He wasn't choosing just his own selfish desires, that was going to fulfill him and give him a source of life. That's what Lot chose. Lot chose, it was all selfish things. He chose the best land. He ended up going towards Sodom and all those things. But Abraham maintained his faith and confidence in God. Even when God gave him his son Isaac, he's like, oh, now finally I'll have some children and grandchildren. Finally, this will be the answer to, this will fulfill God's promise. But then God called for him to sacrifice his son Isaac. And that was a difficult challenge. But I want us to understand something this morning. Abraham dug deep. He had a life source under the surface, so to speak, that God was this source of living water to Abram. Okay? This was God down here. And oh, did that make a difference? Because when he was fixing to offer his son Isaac, God said, stop. And Abraham had a close enough connection with God that he listened to that voice and he stopped. He didn't just continue on and go, well, I'm just going to do what, you know. No, he was listening to God because he was connected to who was his life source? God was. He had a connection, a direct connection. And that's why Abraham's faith was continuing to grow. All right. And we understand that Abraham is the father of faith to us. So thinking of Abraham and God fulfilled, I want to read some of these scriptures here. And I want us to understand here, I want to emphasize Genesis 22, I want to read verse 8. And Abraham, as he's fixing to offer his son, Isaac had asked him, like, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Thank the Lord. Abraham didn't know really what how this is going to end up, but he's like, God will provide. And truly God did. But notice, again, I want to move on to verse 15, because we understand that the end of that story, God spared him, the angel told him to stop, so he stopped, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, verse 15, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful that we're all here because of Abraham. Good old brother Abraham. He was faithful to his God. But the key was, he had found the secret of this source, this life source in God. Okay? That's what continued to inspire his faith. Well, again, with Lot, you realize what became of him? So he became the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites. And you know who they were? They were enemies of God's people. That's not a very impressive thing to be known by, is it? But you see, he chose the selfish route, all right? Abraham chose the true life source through God, all right? But you could say it this way, Lot ended up like this burning stump over here. Not much left, became enemies of God's people. But Abraham, oh, he became a lush, beautiful tree, okay? If you just get this vision of that his lineage felt safe because of his faith in God, all right? He provided something for his descendants, that they could realize that his faith and confidence in God was something they could pattern their own lives after, all right? And realize they could dig deep into God's resource, even though the rest of the world didn't see it, didn't understand it. And let me tell you, I've been to my brother's house many times over the years and never really thought about that. But he brought it to my attention the other day. He's like, that tree has been enjoying the secret source of life from the cistern. So I want to cover another story. The story of Jacob and Esau. It's just a few chapters over in the 32nd chapter. So Jacob and Esau, this is another interesting contrast. And you remember when Esau sold his birthright. And Jacob, now here's the difference. And we'll just compare briefly here between Abraham and Jacob. So we'll say it this way, that there was a lot of things Abraham was faced with that he didn't have any, he just had to deal with what was given him, so to speak. All right? Couldn't have a son. Lot took the other land, the good land. But Jacob, on the other hand, he started out as a deceiver and as a supplanter, as the scriptures say. He started off on the wrong foot. But what I love about this story is this is a wonderful, if you could say, redemption story. Because God made something out of Jacob. In fact, he changed his name, as we'll read here in a little bit. But there was something about Jacob that even when he ran for his life, when Esau sold his birthright for just a mess of pottages, just a bowl of soup, and he sold that. You know, Esau was very selfish in that himself. He just needed something to eat right then. I need this now. Well, we'll talk about Esau here in a little bit. And Jacob, though, he took advantage of that. He's like, yes, we'll take this. Now I'll receive the blessing of my father, the birthright, and the special privileges and all those things. But then he realized that Esau was vehemently angry. Reasonably so, I can understand that. Although Esau's the one that made the agreement. But yet when he realized what had happened, then he sought to kill Jacob. And Jacob is running for his life. And you remember the different incidences that he was involved in. But I want to fast forward here to the 32nd chapter of Genesis. And this is right before he met Esau. Because he finally made up his mind that I'm going to go back and I'm going to try to make things right with Esau. And he found out that Esau had an army of men. He's like, oh no. But there was a promise that he was reminding himself that God had given him. In verse 12, it says, this is before, again, the night before he met Esau, he said, "And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So this was the same basic promise God had given Abraham, okay? So it was also given to Jacob here. And even though Jacob hadn't seen it yet, he was reminding the Lord, "You've given this promise," okay? And then later that night, remember verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.'" So what I want us to get a hold of on this is Jacob, he didn't start out so well. But God had been talking with him, and Jacob had a heart to serve God still. And it came back to this point, he realized everything's on the line here. I'm fixing to meet my brother Esau, and he's wanted to kill me. But I'm going back to meet him, and Lord, I need something from you. And when he wrestled this man, the angel, it says, he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." We could say it this way, folks. Jacob was digging deep into this cistern, okay, where God was, where the presence and power of God was. He was digging deep, saying, realizing, I need something to sustain me here. I need something. I need someone to go before me when I meet my brother tomorrow. And he's like, I'm not going to let go until I receive that blessing. And thank the Lord he received it. Because let's read on what took place here. "And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.'" Thank the Lord. I want us to understand the importance of that conclusion that Jacob, now called Israel, received from that blessing, that touch from God. He said, "For my life is preserved." He was able then to go out to his brother the next day with confidence because he tapped in to God's life source down here. He tapped into God and realized, I've hit the rock, so to speak, where the source of living water is, where God has preserved something here for me. I've tapped into that. Now he's going to preserve me. He got a hold of that and was able to go with boldness then to his brother the next day. And truly it was a wonderful occasion there. His brother met him gladly. And it was a wonderful reunion there. So God blessed Jacob, Israel. in a mighty way, preserved him, blessed him bountifully. He became this tree. But what about Esau? You realize who Esau? Due to the path of his selfish choices, he became ultimately the father of the Edomites, which, guess what? They also became enemies of the children of Israel. That's not a good thing to be made known of, or to be remembered by. But this was Esau over here, just like Lot. Just became a burning stump over there. But Jacob became this wonderful, beautiful, purposeful, strong, living tree, because he had tapped into the source of life from God. Thank the Lord. So, I want us to consider again what I said earlier. Trees don't have a choice where they're planted or what's next to them to draw their resources from, their source of life from. But folks, we have a choice. Just like Abraham and Lot, and just like Jacob and Esau, they all four had choices. They could choose where their life source was coming from. All right? And we know, again, what Abraham and what Jacob did, and what Lot and Esau did. But I want to conclude with a familiar set of scriptures. In fact, I even referenced this last Sunday. But I want to turn and read the first chapter of Psalms again. Because, folks, I want us to get a hold of something personal this morning. Because this is for us individually. That we make the choice to tap into God. So I want to read. We'll just read the whole chapter again. Psalms, the first chapter. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So I'm going to just stop right there. It says, blessed is the man that walketh, and it says, standeth and sitteth. You know, those three things, those are choices that we have the opportunity to make. We choose where we want to walk. We choose where we want to stand. We choose where we want to sit. Again, circumstances happen. I understand sometimes maybe you're born into a family or a situation, or you're born with certain things or whatever, just like Abraham. There were some things he didn't have control over. But folks, he still chose the source of life from God. He still chose to tap into God, to let his roots of his life, his spiritual being, his heart, his mind, his soul, to tap into God, saying, Lord, I need something from you. Lord, you asked me to go sacrifice my son. You just gave me this son. Now what am I to do with this? He said, Lord, you will provide. His faith and confidence was not shaken, all right? He still believed in his God. Therefore, he lived. He prospered. Thank the Lord. Well, again, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, Esau and Lot, they had some of that. They chose, let me just talk about Esau for a little bit. Esau chose to harbor ill will and anger and resentment against his brother Jacob. He chose that. He walked in that. He stood in that. He sat in that for years and allowed that to fester and just to boil up. And what was the end of Esau? Not so well. But he chose to do that, folks. But I want to continue on. Again, what Abraham and Jacob chose. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what's he going to be like? What's that person going to be like that chooses to tap into life's resource, into God? It says, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is that, folks?
It's this right here. We can choose to be just like that tree.
We can choose to delight ourselves in the Lord. We can choose to believe God's promises that they are true, and He won't fail us. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He won't lie to us. He's not going to, all those things, He's not going to take advantage of us. He's going to be there for us to deliver us, to preserve us, to prosper us, to be just like that green, stout, lush, beautiful tree. Thank the Lord. But we have to choose that, folks. Just like Abraham and just like Jacob did. But it goes on. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, the ungodly, those that choose the selfish route. And I want to emphasize that, talk about that just a little bit more. Choosing what our minds and our spirits are fed with. What are we feasting on? What are we feeding? And I want to take it even further, because we know the obvious answers are like, well, God's Word. Yes, that is the most perfect thing we could do, is to read God's Word. And to meditate upon the Lord. It says, delight in the law of the Lord, and His law, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. That's a wonderful thing to do. But I want to take that a step further. I'm going to dig just a little deeper here, because I want us to remember, how did Abraham treat Lot? Even though Lot took advantage of him, you know, Abraham, there's no record here that Abraham held that over his nephew. No, in fact, Abraham was the one that delivered Lot when he was captured by an enemy king. Abraham was the one that went after him and said, hey, wait, no, that's my nephew. Come back here. And Abraham was outnumbered, but yet his, where was his source of life? It was in God. He felt God's hand of inspiration and protection. I'm going to go retrieve my nephew. And that's exactly what he did. God was in that, because Abraham had found the source of life. Okay. But I'm convinced that Abraham did not hold that over Lot. Folks, do you realize, in our personal lives, we can hold things over people. We can walk in it, we can stand in it, and we can sit in it. You understand what I'm saying? To where it's a path, it ends up being an ungodly path. It's an unhealthy path. It's a path of destruction, because we're not forgiving someone. We're not releasing something. Where God is saying, just release it. Just let it go. Forgive that person. Don't hold it over their head. Be like Abraham. Just forgive. And continue on, keep tapping into the life source of God down here, that living water. Oh, thank the Lord, Abraham did that. But folks, again, it's up to us. But on the flip side of that, what did Esau do? He walked, he stood, and he sat in bitterness and anger and resentment. And he held that over his brother Jacob for years. Folks, that's going to eat at you. That's going to destroy you. And what did Esau become? Just a burning stump over there. Not much count. Oh, thank the Lord. We can be like Jacob. Though maybe we have made some bad choices, just like Jacob did. Because, folks, he was human. But, oh, he humbled down. He realized, I need something more. Right before he met Esau that next morning, he's like, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Folks, Lord, help us to have that same mindset, that same desire, that same passion. Say, Lord, I need something from you. I don't want to hold this over my brother or sister in the Lord, or whatever member in my family, or maybe my neighbor or coworker or whatever. Lord, I don't want to hold these things over them, because it'll destroy me. I'll just become a burning stump. Lord, I want to release. I want to forgive. Lord, I want your love. I want your compassion, your forgiveness. Thank the Lord. And Jacob got that, because he dug deep. He went to that cistern of living water, and he found it in the Lord. And folks, God preserved him. God multiplied his seed, just like he promised. Is it going to be any different for you and I? No. God will still meet his promises. He will grant what he's promised us. He never leave us nor forsake us. He'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He'll give us wisdom when we ask of wisdom. But folks, we have to show the desire, the passion. What does it say? His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's not in what I think. It's not in what someone else is thinking. But what does the Lord think about this? Whatever situation it is, Lord, help us to tap into the Lord. Realize he has the answers. He has, ultimately, the source of eternal life. You pray for me that I'll be faithful to him.